Anytime that the suffix tuma in a Rosh Hashayach, it is ruled as being tame. Unless the person who has the suffix says, I did not touch the tuma, I did not come into contact with the tuma, since he is saying definitively that he did not come into contact with the tuma, then he would be ruled as being tar. And even if he does not say definitively that he did not touch the tumah, but he has good reason to believe that he did not come into contact with the tumah, we would rule leniently, and he would be tar, even though the suffik was in Rosh Hashayach. Suffik Rosh Hasharab in Tahar, Acha Yoimer Nikati. Anytime there's a suffik tumah in a Rosh Hasharab, the ruling is that he is tar. Unless he says, I touched the tumah. If he says, I did touch the tumah in such a case, even though the suffik was in Rosh Hasharab, the suffik would be ruled as being tar, since he is saying that he did touch the tumah, so it's no longer a suffik, it's a vadai, so therefore he would be ruled as being tum. Izu he Rosh Hasharab, or would be classified as a Rosh Hasharab regarding a suffik tumah. Shmile beis Gilgal, v'chein kayyotu behem Rosh Hasharab l'shabes, or Rosh Hasharab l'tumah. The steep winding path of the beis Gilgal, these are Rosh Hasharab as far as tumah is concerned, or anything similar to the path of the Beis Gilgal would be considered a Rosh Hasharab, even though they're steep winding paths. And a lot of people avoid these type of paths. Only a few people go up these paths. It's still considered a Rosh Hasharab, even if there weren't three people around at the time that you had the suffik tumah. And since there are some people that go up these paths, it is considered a Rosh Hasharab regarding tumah. But the Mishnah tells us that as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's considered a Rosh Hashayach. Now, the Mefarshim explain, it's not exactly a Rosh Hashayach. As to be classified a Rosh Hashayach regarding Shabbos, it would have to have mechitzas. It would have to be enclosed with a fence or with a wall. But what the Mishnah means to say is that as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's not a Rosh Hasharab. Instead, it's a karmelus, meaning it's not a Rosh Hashayach, nor is it a Rosh Hasharab. Only for Tuma is it considered a Rosh Hasharab, but not Le'enyin Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Lezer, lo hiskaru shvile beis Gilgal, ela shehem Rosh Hashayach lekach ulekach. Rabbi Lezer says, shvile beis Gilgal were not mentioned except to tell us that they are Rosh Hashayach both for Shabbos and for Tumah. And according to Rabbi Lezer, since very few people go up these steep winding paths, even for Tumah, it's considered a Rosh Hashayach, and a suffik Tumah would be ruled lechomra stringently. Hashvilim hamafulashim leboros ulasichim ulamaros ulagitos. Rosh Hashayach leShabbos uRosh Hasharabim leTuma. Paths that open directly into a well, pit, cave, or wine press. Then on one side of the path, there's a well, pit, cave, or wine press. So the path is a one-way path. It's not a throughway. This path is a Rosh Hashayach regarding Shabbos, but a Rosh Hasharabim regarding Tuma. I think Rabbi Eliezer would agree that this case would be classified as the Rosh Hasharab and the Indian Tuma. There are many people that go down these paths in order to reach the Bor Siach Mara or Gath that's on the other side of the path. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, it would not be a Rosh Hasharab. Instead, it's a Rosh Hashayach. Not that it's exactly a Rosh Hashayach. Instead, it would be a Karmelus. As since the path is not a throughway, it's a dead end. It leads right into a Bor Siach Mara or Gath. So it cannot be classified as the Rosh Hasharab Le'inyan Shabbat. That to be a Rosh Hasharab and Le'inyan Shabbat, it would have to be a throughway. And this is not a throughway. Instead, it leads directly into Bor Siach Mara or God. So therefore, Le'inyan Shabbat, it is not a Rosh Hasharab. Instead, it's a Karmelus.
Second Talmud, Parabav, Mishnah Zayin, Habikah, Pimei Sachama. Rosh Hashayach LeShabbat is Rosh Hasharabim LeTuma.
Habikah, a valley during the summer. This valley is classified as Rosh Hashayach as far as Shabbos is concerned, and as far as Tumah is concerned, it's classified as a Rosh Hasharab. A bit of the valley, which has fields in that valley. And during the summer, which starts from the time the tuah is uprooted, the bit is classified as a Rosh Hashayach for Shabbos and a Rosh Hasharab for Tumah. Now that which we say that it's classified as a Rosh Hashayach for Shabbos doesn't mean to say that it's literally a Rosh Hashayach. It's actually a Karmelus, neither Rosh Hashayach nor a Rosh Hasharab. And Le'inyan Tumah is classified as a Rosh Hasharab. As we've mentioned previously, that what we need to be considered a Rosh Hasharab for Tumah is different than what we need
to be Rishus Rabbim for Shabbat. To be Rishus Rabbim for Shabbat, you literally have to have a Rabbim that's there, many, many people that are there. As opposed to be Rishus Rabbim for Tumah, as long as there are a number of people there working on the field, they would be considered a Rishus Rabbim. And during the summer, there are a number of people there working on the field, so therefore, it's classified as the Rishus Rabbim Le'inyan Tumah. And even if at the time the Suffolk Tumah occurred, there were less than three people there, it would still be considered a Rishus Rabbim for Tumah, as long as at times there are some people there. So therefore, any Suffolk that occurs in the Bikkah would be ruled as being tar. Suffolk Tumah versus Rabbim is ruled as being tar. But during the rainy season, a Bikkah is classified as a Rishus Yachid, both Le'inyan Shabbos and Le'inyan Tumah. As during the rainy season, the crops are growing in the field, and the owners of the field do not allow anybody to walk through the field lest they damage the crops. Therefore, since nobody's walking through the field during the rainy season, the Bikkah is considered Rishus Yachid, Le'inyan Tumah as well.